Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Wednesday, October the 27th of 2021. And I'm your host tonight, the Miracle Man, coming to you from Midland, Michigan, where I live. And I'm glad to be with you. Glad that you've made the determination to join us tonight, wherever you may be tuning in from, however you may be tuning in, whatever device you may be using. We're just glad you're with us, glad you've made that determination to come and be a part of it, because it really blesses me when you tune in, and I'm just glad to have you. Wherever you are tuning in from, however you found out about us, as I've said, you know, it's just good to have you tuned in. And it's a blessing when you tune in. But like I said earlier about October, can you believe that it's already basically the end of October? I can't. I mean, this year has flown. We're down to 2 months left. Really? It flew. Literally. I'm not sure that I've seen a year go by as fast as this year has. I don't think I have. But we're still here, and we're still keeping this show going. Got the show on the road, as they say, even though I'm not on the road right now. That Get the Show on the Road has been a popular figure of speech for many, many, many years. And so, as I've said, you know, we have it going. So, tonight we're going to continue on with the teachings of Jesus. Then we're going to, we're also going to sing a few songs, and then, yeah, we're going to sing a few songs. We're going to continue on with the teachings of Jesus, and then we're going to get into Football Central and the predictions that I have for this weekend, which consist of a Division I high school game here in Michigan, an MHSAA Division I game, a Division II game that involves Dow High, the Michigan-Michigan State game, and the Lions game, as well as my other NFL game of the week, which I already know which game it's going to be, but you don't know. Is it the Saints game versus the Bucks? You'll have to wait and see. Is it the Cowboys versus the Vikings? Don't know. What I mean by when I said don't know, like that is, I mean, I've determined which game I'm going to pick. You don't know which game I'm going to pick. Therefore, you'll have to wait and see which one I decide to pick. So that's the plan. I do want to ask you to continue to pray for America, as America is really being attacked from within right now. We have people on both parties who are like, have no idea. You know, what they're... But I think a lot of them do know exactly what they're doing. But obviously we need to pray for this country. The Bible says we are to pray for those in authority. And so that's why I covet your prayers for our country. It's very important. Because if America falls, the rest of the free world falls with it. Guaranteed. And I don't want you to think that I'm just making something, this thing up. No. I am serious. The stuff we're dealing with right now, the ports, the overreach, the, all this other stuff that we got going on, we have to pray. Pray that the right decisions are made. And a lot of these demons, they're these demons that came from China that came with COVID. Because, as we know, COVID came from China. Even though China likes to deny it, can't hide the truth. Obviously, some people don't like to believe the truth, but I choose to go with the truth whether I like the truth or not. And so, like I said, we need to pray. We really do. The other big thing is that on November 2nd is Election Day. Now, in my county, where I live, in my county in Michigan, my specific county, Midland County here in Michigan, there is nothing on the ballot to be voted upon. In many other counties, though, it's different. And different things are on the ballot. You know, you have mayoral races and different proposals and different things like that to be voted on. And it's important that you get your voice heard by voting. And it's our responsibility as Christians to vote, as well as also our responsibility as Americans, for those of us who live in America, as we have people who tune into this program who are from all kinds of different countries all over the world. I remember I had found out that we had people listening from all the different continents on this globe. Of course, excluding Antarctica, where no one permanently lives on Antarctica. What I mean by that is, I mean, no one lives there permanently. There's been scientists that have been there for a time and what have you, but no one goes up there and goes down there and lives permanently. I would never want to live on Antarctica. If I had to live down in Antarctica, I would think it was a punishment. Like, what did you do? What did I do? What am I being punished for? What's my crime? I'd be like, and if I was told, you know, you've done no crime, I'd be like, then why am I here in Antarctica? And then I'd be like, get me out of here right now. Okay, enough of that. But nonetheless, we have people listening. Over the years, we've had people listening from all of the different continents where people live. North and South America, Africa, Europe, Asia, and Australasia, which, by the way, Australia is a mess too. With these different rules, a certain prime minister in New Zealand wants to create two different classes of society, which if you live there, you have to pray against that. And so I believe the prayer of the saints, and I believe strongly in the prayer of the saints, and prayer changes things. I'm a strong believer in that. Prayer changes things. And I don't just mean that as this little slogan. No, prayer changes things. I strongly believe that. I'm not just saying it. It honestly makes a difference. I didn't think prayer made a difference. Why would I do it? Why would I pray? But I honestly believe it does make a difference. So that's why I choose to pray. Let me just check the clock. And so the last couple nights I have been teaching on the last days, but tonight I'm going to teach on different teaching of Jesus. Nothing against the last days teachings at all, but you got to teach on other things too. And, you know, sometimes you got to teach on healing. Sometimes you got to teach on, you know, different other things. When we get real close to Christmas time, one of the lessons around Christmas time that I teach will be tied to the series. Maybe even two. It will be Jesus and his birth. Had I done it in the spring, or in like June or July or something, had I been doing this series in like early July or something, then his birth would be one of the things I'd be talking about. But at this point, the season of Christmas, We're aware that's only like a month and a half away. Christmas Day is 2 months away from this past Monday. But like mid-December or so, and I like to do some different teachings on like, you know, what's the significance of it, of the birth, and what did Jesus come to this earth to do, like from when he was born. And you know, that'll be tied in, as well as it being Christmas. But tonight, I want to teach on the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. It's not Easter. Well, I know that, but it's not a bad thing to teach on the blood of Jesus just because it's not the season, just like I said about his birth. But I try to tell you, even if it's ahead of time, what I want to teach so that it gives you, you know, so you can follow along. That's why I'm doing it that way, kind of telling you what I want to teach about. All right, real quick. I remind you that this episode is brought to you by the crispy chicken sandwiches from McDonald's. If you have the app and decide that you're going to get a crispy chicken sandwich and you're registered for the deals, you can get the crispy chicken sandwich with, for free, you can get fries and a Coke. Medium fry, medium Coke. And you can choose one of the different sauces that they have. But whenever I get the crispy chicken sandwich at this time, I have Chick-fil-A sauce in my fridge that I like to use. Whoops. Shouldn't have said that. Whoops. All right. Price and participation may vary. Tax extra, see McDonald's store for details. Couple quick things before we sing the songs and then we get to the word. I want to remind you of our book, Rivers of Miracles. It's the story of the first 30 years of my life. And if you read that book, it can be a blessing to you. And it's real good to have good, clean, spiritual materials that you can use and have put into your life. Story of the first 30 years of my life talks about how God was so faithful. He's continued to be faithful to me. And I'm just so grateful to God, so grateful for my parents, so grateful for those who have stood with me all these years. And it's been awesome. You can go online to riversofmiracles.com. Again, that is R-I-V-E-R-S of miracles.com to find out more information about the book Rivers of Miracles and how it can be a blessing to you. Amen. So the other thing I want to remind you about real quick is our PayPal. If this show has been a blessing to your life at all, I would highly recommend that you consider sowing a seed on my PayPal. And you can go online to paypal.com and then when you are there, you can choose how much seed you want to sow. That should be up to you. That really should be up to you. Unless God puts something on your heart and tells you, you know, well, this is what you should be sowing. In which case, do what God tells you to do. And so the verse I want to sow into your life tonight is, and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. We are now going to sing a couple songs, and then after that, we are going to get into the Word of the Lord. And and for the blood of Jesus, I'm going to be looking at parts of Matthew 26 and 27, starting first with the Lord's Supper, going from there, skipping certain parts and focusing on others, and because I feel like if I'm going to talk about the blood of Jesus, it would be fitting we read about the Lord's Supper. Now we're going to sing a couple songs. Death is beaten, and they run in that place. Death is beaten, you have won the day. Celebrate, Jesus is alive. Empty cross, empty grave. Death is beaten, you have won the day. Shout it out, Jesus is alive. He's alive, and oh, happy day, you wash my sin away. Oh, happy day, I'll never be the same. Forever I am changed. When I stand in that place, free at last, meeting face to face, I am yours, Jesus, you are mine. Endless joy, perfect peace, earthly pain finally will cease. Celebrate, Jesus is alive. He's alive, and happy day, you wash my sin away. Oh, happy day, I'll never be the same. Oh, happy day, you wash my sin away. Oh, happy day, I'll never be the same. Forever I am changed. Oh, what a glorious day. What what a glorious name that you have saved me, and oh, what a glorious day, what a glorious way, yeah, oh, happy day, you wash my sin away, oh, happy day, I will never be the same, oh, happy day, you wash my sin away. Oh, happy day, I'll never be the same. Forever I am changed. I will never be the same. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You go before me. You shield my way. Every time I fail you, I know you love me. You know my heart. You're surrounding me. In every season, I know you love me. I know you love me. At the cross I bow my knee, where your blood was shed for me. There's no greater love than this. You have overcome the grave, the glory filled the highest place. What can separate me now? And when the earth fades from my eyes, and your hand upholds me, I know you love me. Your holy presence surrounding me in every season. I know you love me. I know you love me. At the cross I bow my knee, where your blood was shed for me. There's no greater love than this. You have overcome the grave, the glory fills the highest place. What can separate me now? At the cross I bow my knee, where your blood was shed for me. There's no greater love than this. You have overcome the grave, the The glory fills the highest place. What can separate me now? You tore the veil. You made a way. When you said that it is done, you tore the veil. You made a way. When you said that it is done, you tore the veil. You made a way. When you said that it is done, you tore the veil. You made a way. When you said that it is done. At the cross I bow my knee, where your blood was shed for me. There's no greater love than this. You have overcome the grave. The glory fills the highest place. What can separate me now? At the cross I bow my knee, where your blood was shed for me. There's no greater love than this. You have overcome the grave. The glory fills the highest place. What can separate me now? You tore the veil. You made a way. When you said that it is done, you tore the veil. You made a way. When you said that it is done. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. The ground began to shake. The storm was rolled away. His earthly bow cannot be overcome. Now, death, where is your sting? Our resurrected King has rendered you defeated. Forever he is glorified. Forever he is lifted high. Forever he is risen. He is alive. He is alive. The ground began to shake. The storm was rolled away. The earth of power cannot be overcome. Now, death, where is your sting? Our resurrected King has rendered you defeated. Forever he is glorified. Forever he is lifted high. Forever he is risen. He is alive. He is alive. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome. Forever He is glorified. Forever He is lifted high. Forever He is risen. He is alive. He is alive. Forever He is glorified. Forever He is lifted high. Forever He is risen. He is alive. He is alive. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, we love you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, we thank you tonight. We praise you tonight, Lord God, for what you are to us, for who you are to us, for what you represent for us. Thank you, Master, that your hand is on our life. Thank you that you are here with us. You are moving on in our midst. We thank you, Lord God, that it is by your blood we are set free. It is by your blood that we are healed. It is by your blood that we are delivered. It is by your blood that we have the things that you've given us, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for what you represent for us. We choose not to forget your benefits. We don't want to forget any of your benefits, the benefits that you have in store for us. Thank you, Lord God, that we know who you are to us. We know what you are to us. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for what you are doing in our midst right now. I pray, Lord God, that all these storms that are trying to come against us would cease right now. And I thank you, Lord God, that whatever the enemy has planned for us, that you hinder the plans of the wicked. Lord God, you reveal the plans of the wicked and you just bring them to naught. And I thank you, Lord God, for that you are moving on our behalf. Thank you, Lord God, for all these people who are listening to this show tonight. I thank you that they receive whatever it is that they have need of from you, whether it's a healing in their body, whether it's something in their mind that they need healed, whether it's their finances, whether it's whatever it is that they're believing for from you. Maybe they're believing for a prodigal son or daughter to come home. Thank you that they receive whatever it is that you have for them tonight, that they would put a draw on you tonight. And I thank you for this word tonight, that you use me to deliver this word. And I thank you, Lord God, that these people have hearts ready to receive, ears ready to hear, minds ready to concentrate on this word and not on all this other stuff. And I give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory for that in Jesus' name. And now I make my confession over this program tonight. I say that sponsors and partners would come into this program. I say that finances would come into this program. I pray, Lord God, that increases in listenership would come into this program. And most important of all, I thank you for the huge amount of souls coming into your kingdom as a result of this wonderful radio program. In Jesus' matchless name. Let's make our confession, because the Bible says we can have the fruit of our lips. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what the Word says I can have. I can do what the Word says I can do. This Bible is more than a storybook to me. It's more than a religious book to me. It's more than a history book to me. Tonight, I am a believer. Therefore, I'm a receiver. And I do believe that I will receive absolutely everything that God has for me today. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Turn with me, please, to the book of Matthew, chapter 26. Amen. Matthew 26. I told you tonight we were going to be talking about the blood of Jesus. I'm going to begin with verse 17. And I want to encourage you, listeners, follow along wherever you are. You know, whatever I do, you do. I sing, you sing. As I study the word, you study along. Be a part. Don't just sit there and watch. Amen. Verse 17. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Judas, came to Jesus and asked, "Where do you want us to make provisions for you to eat the Passover?" He replied, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time is near. I am going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house.'" The disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12, and while they were eating, he said, "I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me." They were very sad, and they began to say to him, one after the other, "Surely not me, Lord." Jesus replied, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will be the one that betrays me. The Son of Man will go in, will go just as it is written about him. But woe to the man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." Then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, Surely not I, Rabbi. Jesus answered, Yes, it's you. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body. He took the cup, all right? Verse 27. Then he took the cup. He gave thanks and offered it to them, saying, Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Let's skip this passage. Go to verse 36. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, Sit here while I go over there and pray. He took Peter and two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed. My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Not as I will, but as you will. Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour? He asked Peter. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away a second time and prayed. My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink, then may your will be done. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour is near. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let's go. Here comes my betrayer. Let's read this passage. While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd armed with swords and clubs. From the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him. Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, Greetings, Rabbi, and kissed him. Jesus replied, Friend, from what you came for. Then the men stepped forward, seized Jesus, and arrested him. With that, one of Jesus' companions reached for his sword, drew it out, struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Put your sword away back in its place, Jesus said to him. For all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you think I cannot call on my Father? And he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled? Let's say what must happen in this way. At that time, Jesus said to the crowd, "Am I leading a rebellion that you've come with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I sat in the temple courts teaching, and you didn't arrest me there. But this has all taken place so the writings of the prophets might be fulfilled." And all the disciples deserted him and fled. This is before the Sanhedrin. Let's read this one. 57. Those who had arrested Jesus, they took him to Caiaphas, who was the high priest, where the teachers of the law and the elders had assembled. Peter followed him at a distance, right up to the courtyard with the high priest. He entered and sat down with the guards to see the outcome. The chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for false evidence against Jesus so that they could put him to death. They couldn't find any. Though many false witnesses came forward. Finally, two came forward and they declared, "This fellow said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days.'" Then the high priest stood up and said, "Jesus, aren't you going to answer? What is this testimony of these men are bringing against you?" Jesus remained silent. The high priest said to him, "I charge you under oath of the living God, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." "Yes, it is as you say," Jesus replied. "But I say to all of you, in the future you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Holy One and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, "He has spoken blasphemy. Why do we need any more testimony? Look now. You have heard the blasphemy. What do you think? He is worthy of death." They answered. They spit in his face, struck him with their fists. Others slapped him and said, "Prophesy to us, Christ. Who hit you?" We'll skip where Peter disowned. We will go to verse 6. The chief priests picked up the coins and said, "It is against the law to put this into the treasury, since it is blood money." So they decided to use the money to buy the potter's field as a burial place for foreigners. That is why it has been called the Field of Blood to this day. Now it was spoken but Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled. They took the 30 silver coins, the price sent on him by the people of Israel, and they used them to buy the potter's field as the Lord commanded me. Meanwhile, Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Yes, as you say," Jesus replied. When he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he gave no answer. I'm skipping down a few verses. verse 15. Now, it was the governor's custom at the feast to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. At that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked them, "Which one do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" For he knew it was out of envy that they had handed Jesus over to him. When Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent him this message: "Don't have anything to do with that innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of them." But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus executed. "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" "Barabbas!" they yelled. For the sake of time, we're skipping down to verse 27. Verse 27. Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. They twisted together a crown of thorns, set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand and knelt in front of him and mocked him. "Hail, King of the Jews," they said. They spit on him, took the staff, struck him on the head again and again. After they had mocked him, they took off the robe, put his own clothes back on him. Then they led him away to be crucified. As they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene. They offered him to carry the cross. They came to a place called Golgotha, which is the place of the skull. They offered Jesus wine to drink, mixed with gall. After tasting it, he refused to drink it. When they had crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lots. Sitting down, they kept watch over him there. Above his head, they placed, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Two robbers were crucified with him, one on his right, the other on his left. Those who passed by rolled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross if you are the King, the Son of God." In the same way, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders mocked him. "He saved others. He can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we'll believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him." And he said, "I am the Son of God." In the same way, the robbers who were crucified with him also called themselves at him. So let's talk about, when did he shed his blood? Well, he shed his blood on the cross, for one. They put nails in his hands and feet. They did the whole thing with the crown of thorns, as we read about. and then they his sweat drops the blood when he was praying, and then there was the whipping post where he was beat at the whipping post. 5 different times Jesus shed his blood. When he shed his blood, that was not just for any little thing. He shed his blood so we could have freedom, so we could have deliverance, so we could talk to him whenever we wanted without having to kill an animal in order to talk to God, so we could have a true relationship with him, so we could have a true relationship with God without having to kill all these animals and exhaust all those resources in order to talk to God. And we have a blood covenant with him. He died for our sins. He shed his blood for our sins. Not so we could sin, not freedom to sin. And if you're trying to sit here and make this claim of, you know, I'm free, I can do whatever I want, well, to that I say, Jesus didn't shed his blood and do all that, you know, and die on the cross for our sin so that, and then be raised to life again on that third day so that you could continue to sin. He did it so you could be free from it. He did it so you could be saved. He did it so you could saved, delivered, healed, set free. That is why he shed his blood for you. And why he died on the cross for you. He was nailed to that cross. Horrible way to die. A terrible way to die. Agonizing death. Totally agonizing. But he did that, see, for you and me, that he did that. And that's one of the things Jesus did for us, is he made it so that we could have that blood covenant with him. That's one of the things he did for us. And so when he shed his blood, every stripe represents healing. In 2 different places, including in Peter, it says Jesus was wounded for our transgressions. For our transgressions, those are sins that you do against the Lord, transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And with his stripes, we are healed. Amen. With his stripes, we are healed. And that's not just supposed to be some little cliche thing. No. That paid the price for our healing when he was beaten all those times and blood came out. That was for us. He died on the cross. Think of it so you could go without pain, without shame. What do we do for him? What do we do for him? He did that for us. But the truth is, you can't pay Jesus back completely for what he did for us. He paid a price we couldn't pay. We could not pay the price that he paid for us. We could not pay that price. He did it. So I said he did it for us. And the blood that he shed made it so that we had that covenant with him. And it means that we can be delivered, we can be set free, we can be healed. We can have all his different benefits that he has. Now about this communion thing. When you take communion, You know, it's the generally cracker and juice, unleavened bread. No, not donuts. But what it did, when you take communion, this represents his body and his blood poured out for you. And you don't take communion to remember you. You take communion to remember what Jesus did for you. Jesus said, as often as you do this, take this in remembrance of me. In remembrance of me. That's what he said. Take this in remembrance of me. And but then, you know, all those people were yelling for Jesus to be crucified. But hey, had to happen. What if it didn't? What if you decided, no, I'm not going to be crucified. I want to live. Still hurt here on this earth. What if that was what he did? And what if he decided, you aren't that important? No, he did that because he loved us. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood, for what it represents for us. I thank you, Lord God, that we would not take your blood for granted, that we would not take the thing, your benefits for granted. And that if we are taking your benefits for granted, I pray that we would stop doing that right now. In your name, Jesus, and I pray that you would just help us. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for you moving on our behalf. Pray that we will put this word to practice and that we will remember what you did for us. And that when people ask us questions, we can tell them exactly what this means for us, what this means for them. And I pray that we would, that every one of us would want to win souls for you, Jesus. And I give you all the praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' name. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. All right. In terms of sports, first off in baseball, the World Series has started. Last night, the Braves beat the Astros 5-1. 5-2, excuse me. 6-2, Braves won. Of note was the Braves' starting pitcher for last night's game had a broken fibula, and he is done for the rest of the World Series. Tonight is game 2, Braves versus Astros. I'll be listening to that once this is over. I will be listening on ESPN 100.9 FM. And so, I've been wanting this to happen for a while, an all-Southern World Series. I wish more championships would be all-Southern teams. I do. Who knows? Maybe we'll have the Bucks versus the best team in the AFC South. Maybe. Who knows? We'll just have to see. But anyhow, that's baseball. Now, in terms of football, let's begin with our football picks for high school. Division 1, Region 2, District 1, Clarkston, who is 8-1, hosts Oxford, which is 5-4, at Clarkston High, Friday night, 7 p.m. In the head-to-head matchup, Clarkston beat Oxford by 3 points. I think it can be expected that this can be another close game. I really do. Give me Oxenford. No. Give me Lewis and Clarkston, 24. Oxyford, 17. So I do think Clarkston will beat Oxford in the Division 1, Region 2, District 1 matchup. On the other side, I do believe that Rochester Adams will beat Lapeer. Lapeer has had great teams in the regular season, but they can't seem to make it past second or third round of the playoffs. They've never made it to the semifinals. They've never once made the finals. Not once. Because someone like a Clarkston always has to be standing in the way. And Lapeer has only been a Division I school since 2014 when Lapeer West and Lapeer East merged into one school. Let's go to Division II. For Division II, Region I, District I, you have Dow High, who is 6-3, hosting Bay City Western, who is 7-2. They are hosting because Dow has a bit more playoff points. Why? Because they played some Division I schools, something that Bay City Western did not do. Bay City Western did not play Division I schools like Grand Blanc and Lapeer. Dow did. Dow played those opponents. Bay City Western did not. That's what, and this, and how a team, whether a team now makes the playoffs, determines whether or not you know, these teams make the playoffs. It's based on playoff points, not based on the automatic 6 wins and in anymore. Back to the game. Dow, 6-3, hosting Bay City Western, 7-2. This also was a head-to-head matchup in the regular season. Dow won that game by a score of 45-44. After being down by well over 20 points early in the fourth quarter, Dow recovered 3 onside kicks. Not 1, not 2, 3, and scored on all those possessions. And were able to win that game. 45-44, last second, Cornfield, Auburn. That is why Dow ends up 6-3. What if Dow didn't win and Western did? Then, I think there's a chance Dow probably would have been 8-1 then. But what have they been hosting? If it was Western Dow, then yeah, it would be at Western at that point. Who knows? My prediction, honest prediction. Dow Jones Industrial Average, 36. Bay City's best, 33. Dow will give up a lot of points, over 30, in fact, I believe, 33, my guesstimation. Bay City Western is like that high-octane train, like that high-octane vehicle, firing, you know, lots of horsepower. In every game but one, they've scored over 400. They've scored over 40 points. The one game that they were really able to be held at bay, their offense was able to be held at bay, they only put up 16 points. Other than that, it's been 40-plus every game. So I think Dow will be able to slow that down a bit, but it'll still be a close game. Both of these games, in my mind, are anybody's ballgame. I honestly believe that. Just like in college, you have 8 ranked Michigan State hosting 6th-ranked Michigan in East Lansing. And both teams are undefeated. And right now, we are quietly the envy of college football right now in this country because both of our top university teams are undefeated. Both of them. And we're the Big Ten. This isn't the SEC. This is the Big Ten. You have 8th-ranked Michigan State, 6th-ranked Michigan. When I look at this game, could honestly go either way. It really could. Both teams have let games slip away from them. And at times they've both had to hold on in order to get their wins. So honestly, Charles, you feel like this one could go either way, don't you? But when I am honest with you, my prediction is winning again, referring to Michigan, 31, Izzo State, 28. Michigan will win 31-28, taking down Michigan State at Michigan State. So that is my college pick. NFL. Oh, you have the Lions hosting the Eagles. Eagles aren't great, but you have the Lions who are 0-7, who could easily be 3-4 instead. But what do you know? They tend to make mistakes. They'll throw interceptions when they really shouldn't and give up these big, huge field goals to let alone two of them, including one that ended up being the longest in the history of the league. And my honest prediction for this game, give me Fly Like an Eagle, 31, Lying Down, 23. You say, Miracle Man, when will you ever pick the Lions again? Once they show some improvement. Once they show they can win at least a game. That's when I'll pick them. Now, the other NFL game that I'm going to pick, is it the Bucs? No, it's not. Because some of you people who have heard me do this last year, you might have thought, oh, he's always going to pick the Bucs. Games that involve the Bucs. Which, yeah, there might be some others. There probably will be some this year, I can guarantee it. There will be some. However, I'm going with the game from the AFC North. You have the Browns taking on the Steelers on Sunday. We're looking for supremacy in the AFC North. Even though Cincinnati is actually surprising a lot of people. When you say they've been one of the surprises this year, Cincinnati, I feel like they've been one of the surprises. They've been a surprise. And so, but when I look at this game, my honest prediction, hash browns, 28, man of steel, 24. And you may wonder, where did I come up with these names for some of these teams? Well, Son of Swami from Detroit Free Press, he likes to come up with different names for different teams, you know, at the high school level for basketball and high school football. But I like to also do it for whatever, you know, college or pro NFL games I may pick. So I give different names to those teams. Detroit Lions is based on whether I expect them to win or not. If I expect them to win, then it's Roaring Lion. If not, Lying Down. The name I came up with for the Pittsburgh Steelers is Man of Steel. And then another one for the Panthers, it's Black Panther. And for the Titans, it's the Titanic. I actually like the Titans, but I just said that. I think that sounds funny. And it's part of, it's meant to be for humor. Just like how I call Dow the Dow Jones Industrial Average. And the comics I call the comic books. Which was almost like a comic book that they went 2-7. That doesn't even seem real, but it happened. Hope that's what happened. All right. So that's it for sports. I confess Psalm 91 over us in the name of Jesus. I say that no evil shall befall us, no plague shall come nigh our dwelling. You have given your angels charge over us to keep us in all of our ways. No drug or drunk driver, no rapist, no burglar, no suicide, no fire, no flood, no crash, sickness, no disease, no terrorist, no COVID. None of this evil stuff will come near us or our immediate loved ones. We're going to be in great peace and great joy and be a powerful witness for you, Jesus. Amen. I sure love you. And until next time, God first, God always. God first, God always. So long, everybody. And tell someone about Jesus. Amen.